podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And follow along as I read verses 34 to 40 of Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Heavenly Father, we pray that you would apply this passage of Scripture to our hearts today as we look into these thoughts, as we are reminded of the commands that your Son has given to us. May we be faithful, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through the years, the United States military has used posters to catch the attention of potential soldiers. And here are just a few of those posters. This is the classic poster. It's Uncle Sam, and he's pointing and saying, "I want you for the U.S. Army." It's pretty direct. The things continued, and the Navy put out this poster, "Young Men Wanted for the U.S. Navy." It says, pay is $17.60 to $77 a month. Today that's about 5 gallons of gas maybe a month. But you also get other allowances for board and lodging and medical attendance and the first outfit of your uniform for free. And so for some boys, they saw a poster like that, and they saw the action behind this sailor, and they saw his outfit, and they said, "I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of defending my nation." And then the third poster, "Only the best can be aviation cadets." And this appeals to the sense of adventure and pride that a young man would sense as he looked at that poster and thought, "Well, that could be me. That could be me flying one of those jets." Another one, the Marine, and he is ready for action. And just the uniform and the look of confidence says it all in that poster. Young man would look at this and say, I need to be involved. Next is Rosie the Riveter. "We can do it." And during World War II, many ladies went to work in the factories in order to support the war efforts, replacing male workers who had been called to the military. And so many women joined forces by just working. And Rosie the Riveter was their symbol of strength. "We can do it." And then there were tradesmen who were needed for the Navy. And here was an opportunity to learn skills that would reach beyond the war. Carpenters, machinists, electricians. That if you learned this skill and to help out in the war effort, then eventually you would be able to do this work as a career. And then, of course, there were Barbie doll nurses who were needed during the wartime as well. Many women became nurses during the war because they were promised these secure jobs once they were done. And they had no idea from this picture, I'm sure, if they joined the efforts, that some of the bloody and messy scenes that they would encounter in the field. But they joined to serve our nation so that we can have freedom today. Jesus also recruited people to serve throughout the New Testament, and in the Gospels we have his words spoken to us in order to coerce us and to grab our attention and to pull us into his duty and his action and his service. And he used a number of different catchphrases. I wonder what his posters would have looked like. Well, maybe this is one of them. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This may have been one of Jesus' catchphrases, one of his slogans to join his service. "Come to me and I will give you rest." Another one, Jesus said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is another call to action. Join me as we change the world together, one man, one person at a time. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Imagine that kind of a slogan trying to catch your attention. All right, you want to join my cause? You want to serve me? Here's how you do it. Deny yourself, take up your cross, carry with you the instrument of torture daily, and follow me as we go and we give our lives together. And then Jesus said, anyone who does not carry my cross or carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Also, Jesus said, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything that you have cannot be my disciples. Give up everything you have. Imagine that slogan. Come join us. Change the world. But first, drop your nets. Give it all away and come with me. But the greatest recruitment slogan used by Jesus was his invitation for all of us to love. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the duty, the service that we have been called into as believers in Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just to summarize what we looked at a couple of weeks ago, because you might have noticed this is the same passage that I preached from 2 weeks ago. We emphasized 2 weeks ago, however, that Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. But he also says here that your greatest commandment is to love people. Now, these come from the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are summarized by that word, the words love God. Worship God alone. Do not bow to idols. Take God's name seriously. Do not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Set it aside to worship your God. The summary of those first four commandments from the Old Testament are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Love him. But the second commandment, Jesus said, is like the first commandment, and it is love one another. Love others. And the last six of the commandments that were found in the Old Testament summarize those as that those words, love others. Honor your parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet. All of these are our expression toward others. So you see, Jesus in saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself, these are the two greatest commandments, was summarizing all of the commandments together. And so he passed the test that the Pharisees threw at him. They thought they could stump him with this question, but he answered perhaps better than they ever could have imagined. These two umbrella commandments go together like peanut butter and jelly, like stars and stripes, like ice and tea. I mean, if you love God, you love others. The two go together. They cannot be separated. You cannot truly love others if you do not love God. And if you love God, you will love others. Here's the way John put it in the letter that he wrote. He said, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. See what he's saying? You can't say that you love God and hate your brother. That makes you a liar. You don't really love God if you hate your brother. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot possibly love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is sort of John's summary of what Jesus had said about those two commandments. If you love God, you also love your brother. They go together. You can't pull them apart. And how do we love others? You know, well, we could sit with a picture of them and look at them. And then we could close our eyes and conjure up a feeling of love for them. You know, that's one thing we could do, but that would really prove nothing in the end. Because Jesus was not referring to the feeling of love when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. But rather the action of love. He used the word agape in the Greek. This was the form of love. The same word that he used of loving God, he used of loving each other. Agape. And that's a word in the Greek that is an expression of love. It's a demonstration of love. It's this high regard that you hold for others that manifests itself in some type of service, some type of action, some type of visual demonstration of love toward them. So it's not just a feeling you have toward others, but it's what you put behind that feeling and what they can see. It's the work of your hands. It's the action. So loving others is expressed best through serving others. Serving others is the way in which we love others. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and then told them that they should wash one another's feet. And then he went to the cross right after that. First he washed their feet and he said, "Now you wash each other's feet." And then he left and he went to the cross. His point was this: I love you and I have shown you how much I love you. Now you go and love one another the same way that I love you. So let's look at some of the ways that we can love one another. Loving others is expressed through serving others. Well, how do we serve others? One way is this: we serve others intentionally. Intentionally. See, this is a command in this passage of Scripture. The command is, love your neighbor as you love yourself, intentionally. Don't wait to be asked to serve. Love on purpose. Look for opportunities to love others. Everywhere Jesus went, there were opportunities, there were needs, there were people who had problems, who came to him. And it would have been so easy for him to overlook them. I think we overlook people with needs each and every day of our lives. But Jesus intentionally looked for them and stopped and talked with them and helped them when he could. The story of the Good Samaritan is a story that Jesus told about a man who was robbed and beaten and laid by the side of the road to die. And we're told in the story that there were two good men that walked right past him. These were good men, but they walked right past this man who was beaten and robbed and dying. And I'm sure they had good excuses for walking right past him. If we were to look a little deeper into the story, maybe they were busy. Maybe they were on their way to an important engagement. Maybe they didn't want to be late. Maybe they were in a hurry. Maybe they had a deadline to keep. They were in the middle of something. They had to get home to their families. Their families were waiting for them. And if they were to stop, it would take time away from that priority. And maybe as they were walking by this man on the side of the road, they thought, what if this is a setup? What if this is some sort of a con job? What if this guy really hasn't been robbed and beaten at all, but he's faking it so that he can overtake me and steal from me? I don't feel comfortable helping him because I don't feel safe. And I don't know first aid anyway. I haven't gotten my first aid card. And, it was years ago, but I haven't gotten it renewed. And I don't know what to do to help this person physically. So, I might hurt them. And then if that takes place, I might find myself in a lawsuit. I can't possibly expose myself to that type of trouble, can I? And someone else will come along. There's lots of people that walk along this road. I'm sure that there's a doctor somewhere behind me that will come along soon and care for this man. I would really rather not get involved. So many excuses. But being a Christian means that you have put your faith in Christ for salvation, that he has rescued you, he loved you, he gave himself for you on the cross. Now that you are saved, it's your privilege as his child to follow him with your life, to each day to grow to be more and more like him in your attitudes and in your actions. So while you are busy leading your life and doing the things that are important to you and setting your priorities and working and spending time with your family and building and making a success of your life, getting involved in business, while you're in the midst of doing all of these important things that we must do, don't miss the broken ones who are lying all around you. Don't miss them. Robbed and beaten by life. Because Jesus says, if you truly love God, then you will love these. And the true measure of love is, are you serving them? There's plenty of excuses, but Jesus taught us that our real purpose in life is to love our neighbor. Rather than looking for excuses not to serve people, we should be looking for excuses to serve people. Because loving others is expressed through our service to them. Let's be intentional about serving others. Number two, we need to serve others thoughtfully. Serve others thoughtfully. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. What would somebody do for you this morning that would make your day? What today would thrill you and make you feel special? Now, how could somebody come to you this morning and serve you in such a way that you would feel valuable to them, would make you feel important, would make you feel loved? What would it be that they could do for you that would make your day? What need do you have right now that someone could come up and say, I can meet that need and help you? What would it be? Now, probably not hard for us to figure that one out. Probably not too difficult for us to dream up some way in which someone else could honor us and serve us. But as soon as you have it figured out, would you be willing to do that for another? Would you be willing to thoughtfully examine the life of someone with a need and intentionally come up with a way to serve them, to demonstrate God's love to them? This is loving someone as you love yourself. Doing for them as you would have someone do for you, the golden rule. And serving others requires thought, it requires preparation, it requires planning, it requires sometimes a burden for them. There was a Welsh couple by the name of Dave and Jill Cook, and they were watching television, a news program in their homes back in 1990. And there across their screen were all these pictures of Romanian orphans. And at that time, there was war that was taking place in Romania. And their hearts were broken as they saw the plight of these orphans in Romania and the conditions in which they lived and the filth and the lack of necessities. And as they watched that TV program, they could have just turned it off and gone to sleep. And said, boy, that is terrible the way things are over there in Romania. Turned it off, put their head on their pillow, and gone to sleep. But this couple, Dave and Jill Cook, sat up that night and discussed ways that they personally might be able to help. Here's what they came up with. They wanted these children to know that Jesus loves them. And so they wanted to get a gift in the hands of each one of these Romanian children. They were able to fill a convoy of 9 trucks with the help of the people around them. They filled a convoy of 9 trucks with supplies and Christmas gifts that were delivered to these Romanian orphans. Now, the majority of those gifts were packed in shoeboxes. So, see, this story in itself is amazing, right? It's an amazing story that they were able to fill 9 trucks to meet the needs of these Romanian orphans. But what's even more amazing than that is that their idea caught on. And it's now called Operation Christmas Child. And since 1990, 77 million children, maybe more by now, have received these shoeboxes. And some of you have personally packed some of those shoeboxes. And it all began with one couple who were watching TV, seeing the needs of children in Romania. Let's be thoughtful about serving others, because loving others is expressed through serving others. Be intentional. Be thoughtful. Number three, serve others sacrificially. My words aren't going to fit on the screen. They kind of got pushed together today, but it's all right. Follow with me. Serve others sacrificially. In other words, go out of your way. Because we have this loving example in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who went out of his way to offer us help. So Scripture is full of all sorts of commands about this. First of all, don't just offer words to someone when you can offer help. This is what James wrote in James chapter 2. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? So we need to serve others sacrificially to go out of our way, not just to use our words, but to use our actions. Look for ways to love beyond your immediate circle. Scripture talks about this too, Matthew chapter 5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Don't even unbelievers love the people who love them? So no, if you're going to be a Christian example, you need to intentionally, thoughtfully, sacrificially step out of your comfort zone, go out of your way, and love those that you wouldn't naturally love. Love those who aren't going to love you back. Expect nothing in return. And then the ultimate expression of love, Jesus said, is to lay down your life. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And we may think on this Memorial Day that that verse always means dying, but it doesn't necessarily mean dying. It can just mean dying to yourself. It can mean laying down your life in service to others. It can mean taking some of the things that you once thought were important and pushing them aside to help others with what's truly important. It may mean loving others like Christ loved. It may mean changing your life completely in order to demonstrate love to others as Christ loved us. So one more way that we can serve others is to serve them consistently. Serve others consistently. Every day, everywhere, everybody. Another way of looking at it. Serve them intentionally, serve them thoughtfully, serve them sacrificially, and serve others consistently. Without limits, there are no days off from serving. There is no escape. You may think, I'm going on vacation, I'm going on a business trip, I'm not in church today, I don't have to serve others. But the truth of the matter is, thank you so much, Scott, isn't he good? He hides back there and nobody even notices, but thank you. He's serving me today. Thank you. And you as well. But consistently, each and every day, to serve, no matter where you are. You know, there are opportunities to see the needs of others and plug into their lives and help them everywhere you go. When we were in San Francisco, after we ate a big meal, we were walking over to where my uncle was going to pick us up with a van. There was seven of us crammed into this minivan. We were waiting for the van to come up. And as we were walking, I walked right by a fellow that was sitting next to a tree on the sidewalk. Now, I kind of saw him out of the corner of my eye, but you know, I guess something inside of me said, well, this guy's just asking for money. This guy doesn't really have a need that I can meet. And I just walked by. It's like one of those guys in the story of the Good Samaritan. I was just going to walk by. Now, my aunt was right there, and she said, does he need help? And she walked over immediately and started talking to him and trying to attend to him, and it turns out that he said, well, I was stupid, and I drank too much, and I fell. She helped him up, let him sit down on the steps of a church that was there, and told him that, did he need a ride? Did he need anything? He didn't ask for any help. She said, just stay here and wait. She reached out to him to help him, and I walked right by. I wonder how many opportunities that we have in a day to help that we just miss like that. We just missed. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love those who are unlovable. And he set the example by dying for sinners. He died for those who put the stripes on his back and the crown of thorns on his head, and he said, Father, forgive them. He prayed from the cross for the very men who beat him mercilessly when he didn't deserve it. Now think through these for just a moment. The way that we love others, we love our neighbor as ourselves, is to serve them. That's the demonstration of that love. We can serve them intentionally by purposefully thinking through how to help them. We serve them thoughtfully by coming up with unique, creative, meaningful ways to serve them and to help them. We serve them sacrificially by going out of our way, by doing things that maybe aren't comfortable for us to reach out to them, and we serve them consistently. We don't do one act of service and say, boy, I'm glad I got that out of the way, I'm done. Now I can pursue all of my own goals and dreams. We have to consistently be plugged into the lives of others, helping them meet their goals and dreams and serving them. It's a part of the Christian life. It's being Jesus Christ to others. Now think of someone in your life right now. Someone who is discouraged and disappointed with the way that life is going. It could be somebody in this room right now. It could be someone in your family. It could be someone in your extended family. It could be somebody at work. It could be somebody that you've read about in the news or heard about. It could be a tornado victim. You saw something on television that captured your heart. It could be someone overseas. Think of someone that is disappointed by life and discouraged at this moment. And ask yourself, how can I love them? They are your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second greatest commandment, Jesus said. And if we perform it properly, it proves the first commandment, that you love God. Will you do it? Will you join the service that Jesus is calling you to join, to serve others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word this morning and for the opportunities that you have given us to join with you in service. We know that apart from your shed blood on the cross, this would be impossible. We do not dare to try to join you in the work that you're doing apart from a saving relationship with you. So, Father, I first pray for each person in this room that it may be true of us that we have put our trust in Christ alone for salvation. And then, Father, on the basis of that relationship, we want to grow as disciples. We want to become more and more like Christ. Father, I pray that you might challenge us today. Help us, Lord, to be convicted, as I was, that there are some that we just walk by in their time of need who desperately need help. And Father, help us in our heart of hearts to determine how we will love, how we will serve. Lord, place someone on our hearts today, just the beginning. Place someone on our hearts today that we can serve in a very special way, that they will know your love through what we do. And we lift this up in the name of Jesus. Amen.